The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
If Arsenal don't become attractive in that way that they're going to win European Cups, Chelsea will continue to attract the players and continue to become the most powerful team.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Liverpool 2, Arsenal 2, and I suppose Arsenal did have a bit to play for on before this game, because just to, I suppose, guarantee their Champions League qualification for next season. Liverpool were certainly motivated as well, I think, after last week's performance against Chelsea, and also just wanting to beat their title rivals to, I suppose, for maybe a better ending to their champion or their title winning season. What did you make of the game yourself? How did you assess it?
I think obviously first half, Saka missed a huge chance in the first few minutes from a wide free kick. He should have really done better with it. The bounce of the ball kind of put him off a little bit, I think, and he didn't get a clean connection on it. And from there, that kind of gave Liverpool a bit of a fright, I think, and they really got into the game. Anytime they were defending, they were so sharp in the transition, and then the goals come. Two goals in 2 minutes, and to me at that time, it looked like it was game over. And they seen out that first half so well. Anytime Arsenal came back, they soaked up the pressure so well. Constantly look at Trey in the transition on the counter attack. Then obviously the second half starts, and it's a completely different team that Arsenal seemed to put out. They came out completely different animals, energy levels, sky high, tempo, energy, everything about them. And straight away, Martinelli started up front, Trossard out on the left, Conor Bradley just a little bit off. Trossard allows that cross to come in, takes his opportunity, Trossard early cross in. Defending's not great. He should latch on to Martinelli in the middle of the box there, but it's a good finish from him to get them back into the game at 2-1 just after half time. And then obviously, like, listen, Odegaard wasn't great for most parts of the game, but when he was good, he was very good with his end product. Takes an unbelievable shot from about 25 yards out. Alisson actually gets a good hand to it, crashes off the post, but Mourinho gambles and taps it in for the equaliser. Ends up getting sent off then with about 10 minutes to go, trying to make up for a mistake he made that nearly conceded a goal from themselves. And Arsenal see out the game with 10 men, and for the last fully 10 minutes of the game was all Liverpool trying to get that win. Listen, you don't fully understand that as well, in the sense of Arsenal down to 10, happy to come to Anfield, get a point. But listen, it was a really, really entertaining game, considering that, listen, for Liverpool, didn't really have to do anything. They're just turning up for the sake of the fans, I suppose you could say. But for Arsenal, I think we're all kind of more or less convinced that they will finish in the Champions League spots, regardless of how they kind of done today. But just need to make sure that that'll come as a valuable point. I'm sure they'll see it like that.
They've shipped a lot of criticism over the last number of days. Mikel Arteta's comments in the wake of that Paris Saint-Germain defeat. Some of the stuff that he said, some people accusing him of being borderline delusional by saying that he felt Arsenal were the better team over two legs against Paris Saint-Germain. Also making the comments about the points tally in the Premier League, and some people thought that was almost trying to diminish Liverpool's achievement this season. Considering what happened on Wednesday night, the manner of their defeat to Paris Saint-Germain, to go 2-0 down today and to come back, draw 2-0. And I think the character shown by the likes of Martinelli and Odegaard especially, because he didn't have a good first half. Do you think that maybe shows that this Arsenal team are going to come back fighting next season?
I think they'll, yeah, I've no doubt that they'll come back fighting. They definitely have a base of a good team there, but they're just missing one or two that can just take them on to the next stage. Not having that out and out finisher, goal scorer up front, someone that can give you a return of like a Haaland or a Salah, that's what you're up against now. You know, they need to get one of them into the building if they want to be the ones that are going to be lifting titles at the end of the season. There's a bit of criticism around Arteta not going out into the January transfer market and doing that. He didn't put his faith in Havertz. He gets injured early February. I don't think any of us are convinced that he would have been the man anyway to hit 20 plus goals a season. He doesn't even play him as a number 9 a lot of the times. He plays in a deeper role. And then obviously Saka coming out for that period of time as well didn't help matters. But no, they have got a good base there. One or two additions, keeping these important players fit, like what Liverpool have done through all of this season, will be vital for them if they're going to go on and bring on to that next stage.
It does seem like Declan Rice is an interest. When he didn't play today, he was left out of the squad, obviously just be rested. So he, I suppose, at West Ham, at Chelsea, when he was there as a youth, would have been a very defensive midfielder. Even at times he's played at centre-back. It seems that Mikel Arteta wants to use him as a more attacking midfielder. That's what Rice himself wants to do. some people would have question marks over Rice and his ability to play as an attacking midfielder, that maybe he doesn't have the technical ability to play in that kind of attacking way. In the, I suppose it's a comparison to a contemporary like Jude Bellingham, say, for instance, or even like saying, if you look in the past, Steven Gerrard for Liverpool. The talk is they're going to sign Zubimendi from Real Sociedad, so you'd imagine he will be the deep-lying defensive midfielder that they will have starting next season, and that you would think will allow Rice to play in the more attacking position. What do you think of him as an attacking midfielder? Is that the right role for him, or do you think Arteta is doing the right thing?
It's mad looking at the evolution of him over the course of the last 18 months or so, because obviously when they signed him, 100 million quid, he's going to be a number four. He's going to sit in front of that back four and just break things up and keep things simple like we all expected. Look at what he was doing at West Ham. But then out of nowhere, you kind of see him galloping up the pitch a little bit more and then starting higher up the pitch in them higher midfield positions. And he does get good rewards from it. Like, you know, early on at PSG, should score a header in the opening moments of the match. Then first 10 minutes of the game, they had some huge, huge opportunities, and you're kind of looking at the game and they haven't scored with them opportunities. They came the way, you're kind of thinking, oh no, this could come back to bite you, and it did, and that's what happens. But no, I've no complaints with him. I think he will be productive and have a good outcome playing in that higher position as a more attacking midfielder. He always seems to pop up in that kind of like left channel area, always in the box. He's very, very good in the air. He's a decent finisher. And then when he needs to, he's got that physical presence and that whereabouts to kind of come back and help his side out. So no, I think he would be a good addition. If they bring in this new kind of sitting midfielder to help out Partey in there, he could be that attacking player that could really, really help them. But for me, that's not their biggest issue. I think exactly, they need more than one number nine. They need a couple of number nines. I know Jesus has been out injured as well. He's a good like squad player. He can do a thing or two when he comes into the fold. But they need these really these goal scorers back in the building. They could probably do with someone out on that left side as well to kind of give a return similar to what Saka does on that right side, just to help out in that attacking sense. Defensively, they're solid. I think they're the best defensive record in the league, so you've no issues what they have there. But
the funny thing is, they do score goals. Okay, they do score now, but they've got a lot fewer goals than Liverpool this season. And people say, well, they do score goals, but granted, they do score goals, but it is, and you're right. I think it's, when it comes to the big games like Paris Saint Germain. You know, when you're in a title running against the likes of Liverpool, you need a proper goal scorer, don't you? And like, I'm thinking about in that Paris Saint-Germain game, the amount of times the ball came into the box or it flashed across the face of goal, and there's no centre forward there to meet it.
Yeah, it's just there's an over reliance on Saka. Yeah. And like, even in how well they done against Real Madrid, and I know Declan Rice was great in the first leg, Saka in the second leg, it was all Saka. At times they kept him up there and he's playing like a target man and doing really well. But that's not what you want from Saka either, you know? He's a winger. He's not an out and out like centre forward. I think they need, even if they got a bit of help, no, they definitely need a centre forward. Even if they got a bit of help on that other side as well, maybe someone just kind of push Martinelli onto the next level even, that'll really, really help them. But yeah, like there's, even today there was a ball chipped in from Saka to the back post to Martinelli. He heads it back across the 6-yard box and there's nobody there. Nobody there. That's a tap in for someone like Isaac. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had someone like him in the building, he's just there to tap it in. And that's just something that they're missing, I think.
Oof, I hope there's no Newcastle United fans watching. Liverpool. Well, we'll come to Alexander-Arnold in a moment because there was an interesting reaction there from the supporters at Anfield today. But, you know, it was a decent performance from them. They, I suppose after what happened to them against Chelsea last week, they need to show supporters in Anfield that they you know, I suppose that they were motivated for the game today. But I suppose across the board at Liverpool, looking ahead to next season, where do you see the kind of areas in there? Like, because to win back-to-back Premier League titles, you do need to refresh the team. You need to get new players in. It's what the great managers do, Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho. You'd always sign a couple of players in that following summer after winning a league title. So where do you think Arne Slot might be looking in that Liverpool team to bring in new players?
It's definitely time to do that for Liverpool, in the sense of Slot came in and has won a league with Jurgen Klopp's team. You know, he didn't sign anyone. Chiesa, I think, was the only sign. He's really made a remarkable achievement from him. the massive stroke to put Gravenberch in as that kind of sitting midfielder. It was the one position that all Liverpool fans were kind of worried about at the start of the season. Who's going to play there? We don't think McAllister can kind of do it. He's not that type of midfielder. Put Gravenberch in there for him to kind of go in seamlessly and become literally one of the world's best number four, I think, in that position now. Gone past the stage after maybe 12 or 15 games where you're saying this might be just a little bit of a phase he's going through at putting in good performance, but he just kept the consistency up the whole way, and he was remarkable all season in there. But yeah, no, he's definitely going to have to add, I think, both full-back positions. They need additions there. I think Conor Bradley's good enough to be their number one right-back, but I do think they need someone in behind them, maybe just to push him, someone on par with him, just to keep his levels as high as possible. I think, obviously, Andy Robertson is kind of slowly coming to the end of his Liverpool career there. He's at a good age, been unbelievable servant for the club. He's excellent again today. But you could see there was times where Ben White was just 1v1 with him and just kicking and going and getting the other side of him. And that's not what you expect to see from Andy Robertson when he's defending. And then a centre forward, they're all out there. Everyone's out there. Like, for the amount of goals that Salah scores, he's obviously the owner from the wider positions. Nunes kind of probably started the season off as that number nine, the one we were hoping might come good. He might find that bit of finesse in front of goal. Unfortunately for him, it didn't really come. Jota was inconsistent with injuries. So no, I think they'll definitely be going into the market looking for the number nine. It's going to be a very interesting transfer window because all these top clubs are after this striker that's going to be able to get to 20 plus goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Kirk is at Bournemouth, left back. He's a man who's been talked about, linked with Liverpool. Do you think he'd have that kind of quality that they need on that left side of the defence that Arne Slot might be interested in?
Yeah, he's been very impressive any time I've seen him. He's obviously at a very, very good age. There's obviously the club, the upstairs of the club, and know him well. Richard Hughes, the sporting director, is probably the same person that signed him for Bournemouth before he came back up to work for Liverpool again. So we'd know all the information about him and stuff. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's someone that comes into the building there.
Kevin De Bruyne was linked during the week. Now, I'm not too sure how much truth there was, but there was talk of maybe he was being... There was an offer made to him by Aston Villa and Liverpool to sign for next season. I was talking to another former player yesterday, just saying, like, you know, look, I know that Kevin De Bruyne's fitness has been questioned over the last number of months, but he does seem to be looking a little bit sharper now that he's recovered from that injury. And it was interesting to know him yesterday against Southampton, making a lot of bombing runs forward to press against Southampton. I wonder if was he kind of saying, was that him kind of trying to say to other clubs who are interested in him, look, I've still got, you know, I'm still fit enough to play at the top level. Like, do you think it's complete nonsense he could go to Liverpool, or is he the type of player that maybe they could sign up for a season and he could do something for them?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm a Liverpool fan. I'd have him in a heartbeat. Right? Yeah. Especially you're losing Trent Alexander-Arnold, right? And whatever about them being from totally different positions, their end product is very, very similar. Right, so if you have someone that can pick the ball up deep on the pitch, like you see with Alexander-Arnold, he did it today, got the ball to the halfway line, and he put Nunes in with one pass. De Bruyne has that same ability. If you can just get him onto the pitch somehow, and if you're under pressure and it lands to his foot even deep in your half, he's got that accuracy in his passing where he can put someone in like that, click of a fingers, one pass, open up the pitch completely for your side. So yeah, I wouldn't something like that, I wouldn't completely write off. Do I think he'd come in and play 30 plus games for Liverpool? No, maybe 20, 25 games, come in and help. But you'd be a good addition to the squad.
Get legs around them, kind of thing. Yeah. If you've got players that
they've got players around them that could, like the McAllisters, Gravenberch in around them, something might work there. But yeah, no, that'd be a bit of a masterstroke from Liverpool in my eyes if they did pull that one off.
Yeah, a bit like maybe Man United signing Robin Van Persie that time a couple of seasons ago, and got them that, helped them to that Premier League title. Look, just to finish on Liverpool, it kind of took me aback a little bit, I think, hearing those boos for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now, I kind of maybe was half expecting them, listening to some of the discourse around him over the past week. Of course, that move to Real Madrid has been confirmed. Talk that the Spanish club are going to maybe pay £1 million to get that contract ended quicker, because, of course, it is due to run to the end of June. They want him in for the Club World Cup tournament that's coming up, that starts in the middle of June. So, look... Listen, I'd never criticise match-going supporters to voice their disappointment with a player maybe moving off to a different club. As a supporter of a club myself, I can understand the disappointment, the heartbreak you would have for someone that you've given so much support over so many seasons. And if they want to boo, they've got a right to boo him. Then I can kind of see the other argument as well, where, you know, people would say, well, look, he's given your club so much service, he's helped you win so many trophies. But I suppose at the end of the day, he's going to a European rival. Liverpool are going to play Real Madrid over the next number of seasons. They played them a lot over the last few seasons. It's guaranteed they're going to end up playing against Alexander-Arnold. So what did you feel when you heard those boos for Alexander-Arnold today?
It's obviously very, very tough for him. You know, he's a local lad. He's given his whole life so far to the club. He's been there since day one. And he's achieved so much. Like, no one will ever, ever, ever take away what he's done for that football club and what he's done for himself on behalf of the football club, even as such. Premier League titles, FA Cup, Champions League, he's literally won it all with them. Incredible, like, incredible achievements from him. And he's like, he's one of the best right backs in world football. Certainly in possession, he is. I know we always kind of criticise him over his defensive capabilities, but going forward, his end product, as I kind of touched on there a second ago, like, there's not much else like him in world football, and you can understand why Real Madrid have kind of maybe pushed about out wages wise, only came in on a free transfer to kind of get it over the line and get him over there. How we kind of look at this, and I'm probably the wrong man to talk about this, I'm a Liverpool fan, but I played for 12 clubs myself, so like moving clubs wasn't something that was very unnatural for me. But my blame here goes to Liverpool. Right, and like you don't let one of the best right backs in world football let their contract run down like that, you know. And there was a bit of upheaval, probably middle to end of like maybe a season or two ago, when like Klopp was leaving and everything around him left as well. Sporting directors, the lot. So like in that moment, there's probably a situation where they should have been trying to tie down the likes of him, Van Dijk, Salah on longer term contracts. They let them run out. They managed to get them two over the line, but not him. And then the big boys come calling, you know, and he's at a really, really good age. It's something completely different from him. He's probably looking at this and going, I don't wanna, like, I've won everything that I could possibly win at Liverpool. Why not try something else out for my whole life here and go play for one of the biggest clubs in world football? See how it goes. Unfortunately for him, he got a few bills off to Liverpool, but all that stuff will go. His career will end 15 years time, 20 years time. He'll be welcome back at Anfield as a fan's favourite, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely affected him. You could see it on the pitch today.
You could see he was looking down. He seemed to be a bit down the dumps for me. A few times the camera was on him a lot. It looked like his eyes might have been a bit watery and stuff, which is obviously disappointing. He's given everything he possibly can for the club, except sign a new deal for them.
Well, listen, Owen, thanks for being here. I'm sure Premier League celebrations will continue on Merseyside, and Alexander-Arnold will be forgotten probably next season.
Absolutely, yeah. Top man.
Cheers, Owen.
Top
man.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.